God's host, the host He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. So, our text for today is Matthew 27:46. It includes a sentence uttered by Jesus immediately before He died while hanging on a cross. I want you to listen as I read Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His words. Some events in history impact us so deeply that we always remember the circumstances and where we were when we heard the news. I remember sitting in my dorm room at the University of Richmond listening to the radio when the programming was interrupted and they announced the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And of course, I shall never forget walking from the beach at Emerald Isle under a brilliant blue sky and going into the beauty salon where Connie was a client. And everyone was watching a television. And I turned and saw smoke billowing from the North Tower. In a few moments, a plane hit the South Tower. Those images are embedded in my memory forever. And you no doubt remember exactly where you were when and what you were doing when you first heard the news on 9/11/2001. However, today I want us to ask and make an attempt to answer the most important question, I think, regarding 9/11, which no doubt has puzzled many, many people since that horrific day. And the question is, where was God on 9/11? Well, God was in the same place He was when Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden. God was waiting to cover Adam's sin and to forgive him. From the very beginning of history, human history, with the creation of Adam and Eve, God demonstrated His love for His favorite creation, and that was man. Every man, every woman, every person born into this world, God loved. And Adam and Eve, although deceived by Satan, made a conscious decision to rebel against their Creator and friend, God. Where was God when He first raised His ugly head of defiance and rebellion? Could God have stopped man's rebellion before it began? Well, it's not a matter of whether He could have stopped it or not. It's a matter of God's design for humanity and His plan for redemption. God designed us with freedom of choice. And in His sovereign knowledge, God made provision before the world was ever created for man's redemption. He did such knowing that man would make disastrous choices from the very beginning. And when Adam and Eve finally confessed to God, God was there to forgive them, provide a covering for their nakedness and shame. And He exacted the ultimate punishment upon an innocent person, Jesus, to cover man's sins. On 9/11, God, as always, was waiting for us to confess our sins and accept the gift of salvation, which He offered. Where was God on 9/11? God was in the same place He was when Job lost everything. God was proving He was God despite unfortunate and terrible circumstances. You know, Job would rank at the top of the list of persons in history who have experienced personal tragedy. He was a good man, a godly man, a man standing for what was right and hating what was wrong. Did being blameless and upright immune Job from problems and disaster? Of course not. Job lived on a planet at times which experienced natural disasters such as earthquakes and floods and fire. There were evil men living in Job's time, men who were willing to steal and to kill to obtain what they wanted. And Job became the target of special satanic fury. We recall that God allowed Satan to test Job. And as a result, Job lost everything of value, including his precious children. Where was God when Job was losing everything he owned? Where was God when Job's children were killed? Where was God when Job's flesh was racked with pain? God was with Job. Because God was with Job, Job maintained his integrity. Job never blamed God for anything. He maintained his integrity and faith. And on 9/11, God was with us to provide strength in order for us to maintain our faith and to know that God is God and God is with us regardless of the circumstances which we face. Where was God on 9/11? God was in the same place he was when Joseph was in jail. God was accomplishing his perfect will. If ever anyone was misunderstood and ill-treated, it was Joseph. If ever anyone suffered wrongly, it was Joseph. Yet, with all his hardships and his problems and his abuse, Joseph was able to honestly say to his brothers, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good." And this was certainly true when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and when Mrs. Potiphar falsely accused him of attempted rape. Each step of the way in his life, God was able to take Joseph's trying circumstances and mold him even more closely into the man that he would one day become. God was there all the time, using Joseph to accomplish God's will, although Joseph must have sometimes wondered, where was God? On 9/11, God was using circumstances to accomplish his will for his favorite creature, for his favorite creation, man. Where was God on 9/11? We could go on and on. And we could talk of the experiences such as Moses being prepared by God for greater service, Samson being strengthened by God to defeat his enemy in spite of his weakness, Jonah being given the knowledge by God to learn that God's way was best, Daniel being protected by God while jealous men sought to kill him because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Peter and John being given great opportunities by God to share the news of Jesus. Paul being assured by God that all things work together for good to them who love God. And even on 9/11, God was available to help us just as he helped those I have just mentioned. Yet perhaps the response providing the greatest insight into the heart of God when a tragedy strikes, such as the 9/11 disaster, and which provides the best answer to the question, where was God on 9/11? The answer is the same place he was when Jesus hung on the cross. God was enduring the pain to benefit us. the horror, the agony, the pain, this anguish, not just the thorns on his brow, not just the lashes on his back, not just the bruises from the reeds and the fist of his captors, not just the nails in his hands and feet, and not just the spear thrust into his side. Jesus experienced all this, plus the burden of the sins of the world being placed upon his shoulders. Where was God when his one and only Son was hung on the cross to die? Did God know what was happening? Could God have prevented or stopped it? Did God even care? Of course God knew. Of course God could have prevented it. Of course God could have stopped it. Of course God cared. God knew it was happening, and he could have stopped it. Yet he did not. God had a larger picture in view for us. There was a greater good to be accomplished by the suffering and death of Jesus. Through the suffering of one, many would be saved and made whole. Through the sacrifice of one, many would have their sins forgiven. Through the death of one, many would be made alive. God was not just sitting idle and helpless as his Son suffered. God was using the schemes of wicked men and wicked hearts to bring about the redemption of mankind. We read in the Old Testament in one of my favorite books, the book of Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. This is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God was not surprised by 9/11, yet he was saddened by it. God did not cause 9/11, yet he does comfort those of us affected by it. God may not prevent future attacks of terrorism around the world, including this country. Yet he will provide a peace to those whose hearts are filled with hatred if they will but turn to him. I want you to listen as I read from Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. This was Jesus speaking to a group of people regarding sin and judgment, and it was the belief of the people in the time of Jesus. It was the belief as far back as Job. It was the belief probably from the beginning of people that if something terrible happened to a person, it was because they were to blame, that they were wicked and they deserved this. Remember Job's friends all talking about he had to be doing something evil. He had to be doing something ungodly in order to have suffered this, because that's what God did. He punished people. And Jesus was trying to tell them that when a tragedy happens, the most important question is not why, but the most important question is, where is your personal repentance? Have you confessed your sins to Jesus? Have you received salvation at that time? The bottom line is the events of 9/11 in many ways are beyond our comprehension. A lot of people think that God was hiding. Why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God keep the building from collapsing, until the people got out? Where was God? Why wasn't he available? God was available. God was God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He gave mankind freedom of choice. Some choose to do evil and wickedness that affects innocent people, children, women, men. It's not just armies that suffer. But God was there. And He is here today. The grace of God is still present with us. And the main message is, today is the day for salvation. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Where are you today in terms of salvation? Have you repented of your sin? Have you accepted God's gift of salvation by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, what better day to do so than today? And we invite you to do that. If the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and soul and mind, and you feel that you need to accept that gift of salvation, we urge you to do so. You should accept the gift of salvation. And we'll be glad for you to share that decision with us if you'll just come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 312, Softly.